Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we are starting a short, yet I believe very important sermon series called God's Managers. And what I'm really excited for us to explore over the next couple of weeks is how stewardship, this thing that we all kind of tense up when we hear about, is not just about giving our time, talent, and wealth to the church, although that's going to be an important part of it, but that stewardship is actually something we're being called to live out in every area of our lives. And so to set the foundation for the series, what we need to do this morning is to go back to the very beginning when God went about creating all things to take a closer look at why God created human beings in the first place. So in the first 6 days of creation, God took this pre-existent material called the formless void, or in Hebrew, tohu vabohu, and I want you guys to say that with me because it's so fun. Ready? Tohu vabohu. Now you got to really say it, right? Tohu vabohu. And what God did with this pre-existent material is through a series of 6 days, as you guys know, as little by little, bit by bit, he began creating and organizing that stuff into an ordered existence, or the world that we know today. Or on day one, it says that God created light and then separated the light from the darkness. Day two, God created the sky by separating the waters above from the waters below. Day three, God gathered the waters into a particular place, causing dry land to appear, and on that land caused vegetation to begin to grow. Day four, God creates the sun, moon, and stars and gave us light and to organize us into seasons and days and years. And then day five, he creates all the creatures of the sea, the birds of the air. But the interesting thing that happens on day six, when you read it closely, is not only does God create all the land animals, but it says he goes on to create these special creatures called humans. Or Genesis 1:26 explains, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness.'" Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. Or what seems to make this day a bit different from the first 5 days that preceded is that when it comes to creating human beings, it doesn't just say that God created them and then just moves on, kind of like he does with the rest of creation. No, instead it says that these creatures are going to be different. Or somehow these beings are going to be more like God than any other creatures because God is going to create them in his image, in his likeness. But the truth is, there seems to be as many interpretations as there are churches regarding what is exactly meant by human beings are created in God's image and likeness. So for our purposes today, and to stay out of the weeds because they get pretty deep pretty quickly, a simple way to get at what's going on here is just to know that God has given us as humans some qualities that the other animals don't have. Maybe it's free will, maybe it's rationality, something like that, that seem to set us apart and make us special. And yet, here's where things get really, really interesting. Because what we find as we continue to work through this particular scripture is that the reason humans were created in such a special way is because God had a specific plan or purpose for us. Or it seems that God didn't just create us to go out and do whatever we want to do, but instead created all of us with a specific purpose in mind. And the reason we know that is because of the simple little logical phrase that shows up in the NIV, "so that," that comes right after, "let us make mankind in our image and likeness," which in turn means the sentence or the thing that comes after the phrase "so that" is the part of the teaching that is telling us, that is revealing to us our purpose or answering the why question behind why did God create us in the first place. Or this, my friends, according to Genesis, is our purpose, and it is profound, but oftentimes we miss it. "So that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over all the wild animals and over the creatures that move along the ground." Again, "so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock, over all the wild animals, over all the creatures that move along the ground." And yet, to get at what this purpose is really all about, the key phrase that is doing most of the heavy lifting here is the phrase "rule over," which is translated, the Hebrew word that gets translated is radah. And another fun word to say, so you guys join me in that? Radah. And you got to kind of get down here, radah. Right? And so, what this term implies is dominion, governance, or exercising authority over something. Or it's a term that puts into perspective that the reason God created us, or the reason why we exist at all, is because God needed some creatures that were like him to take on the role of helping God to govern and manage his good world. Yeah, according to Genesis, the reason God created us, the purpose of humans, is to help him govern the world. Or maybe to say it in a way that makes a bit more sense in our modern context, God created us to be his managers. And yet, before you get too excited just thinking that God handed the earth over to humans so we could rule it in whatever way we see fit, although if you look around, it seems like we're not doing a very good job, right? You need to understand that this phrase does not necessarily mean that God created us to be owners, like somehow the world now just belongs to us. No, the best way to understand what is meant by Rada is to get that the world and everything in it still belongs to God, or God is the owner. And what God has done is he has basically created us to help him take care of and run his world well. Or let me give you some examples that I hope will bring this to light for you. So first of all, what I want you to do is to imagine yourself as a gardener of a huge estate. And I'm talking one of those fancy yards of some billionaire that's on the cover of one of those Better Homes and Gardens magazines. You guys know what I'm talking about. You guys have seen that before. It's a full-time job for you to keep up with the mowing and trimming. You probably have staff and all of that kind of stuff. Well, what I think imagining being a gardener helps us to kind of intuitively get is that even though we have been put in charge of the garden, and even though we're going to be the ones who are making most of the decisions regarding that garden, that doesn't mean that we can just do with the garden whatever we want to do. No, because the property still belongs to the owner, that means our job as the gardener is to do what we need to do to please and make the owner look good. Another way to see this is to think about the owner of the Great Bend Sonic hiring a manager to run the store on a day-to-day basis. Because what's going on in this act of hiring is this owner has taken some of their authority, right? And they handed that over to the manager so that the manager can rada, or so that the manager can rule over and govern the Sonic. But again, just because the manager has been given this authority to run the Sonic in the way they see fit, that doesn't mean that the store now belongs to them, so they can do with it whatever they want. No, their job as the manager is to rada for the benefit of the owner. Or to get at this logic in a biblical way, what happens when God created us in his image and likeness is he basically made us stewards. And what are stewards? Well, stewards are people who have been entrusted with their master's resources and are expected to manage them wisely and faithfully, again, for the benefit of the owner. And what all of that makes clear to me is that in the beginning, when God went about creating us in his image and likeness, the reason that God did that, or the purpose behind why we exist, is because God needed us to help him rada his world. Or God needed us as the beings who are most like him to help him to rule and govern and manage his good world for his glory, which of course is why God goes on to actually do it. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves along the ground. And yet now that you're starting to get that God created all of us to be his managers and his stewards, now let me share with you what I think that means for our lives in a general big picture kind of way as we continue to set the foundation for this series. So when you start to think about this purpose that God has created us for, you need to understand that God didn't create us all to be rulers of the entire world, and that all of us are now responsible for everything that is going on in the world, like we become the emperors of the world. No, you need to understand that basically what God has done is he's created us to rule and oversee the part of the world that we belong to. Or to try to give you a picture of how this works, I want you to think about the office of the President of the United States and what really goes into being the person who is responsible for running the most powerful nation in the world. Because the truth is, given all the responsibilities that a president has in so many different areas of American life, I don't care how smart or how organized our president is, it's just not physically or mentally possible for one person to keep up with all that complexity in a way that's effective or efficient. And so what does a president do given that circumstance? The president delegates. Or they find the best and brightest people in a certain area whom they can trust, and they let them do all the heavy lifting of running things on a day-to-day basis. And to take it even further, those experts that work directly for the president, they're not able to keep up with all that's going on in their particular area. So they too have to delegate to other people who are even more specialized, relying on them to inform them of what they need to know. So in turn, the president, when he has to make a decision or she has to make the decision, they have all the information they need to make those hard decisions that no one else can make. Or did you know that there's actually around 4,000 people who work for and under the President of the United States as a part of the executive branch? That's right. What I want you guys to see here is it takes 4,000 people, not just one, to do the work of the president. And what this example brings into focus when it comes to being God's managers is that none of us were created to do it all. But instead, we're created to rule and manage our particular place. And our particular place, when you begin to think about it in a general way, includes our households, or all it takes to manage our property and our wealth well. For parents, we are called to rule and manage our children so they can grow and develop into the people that God created them to be. In our work, we're called to manage those tasks and people that have been put in our charge to the best of our abilities, but not just to help the business to thrive or to make a good living, but for the sake of God's kingdom. And even kids who are going to school these days, their radah, where they rule and reign, is in doing the work that God has created them to do, to become the people that he created them to be. And all because, in a sense, what God has done by making all humans his managers is God has delegated the responsibility of his world to billions of people across the globe whose purpose it is to rule, to manage their small piece of the puzzle. Not just for themselves, which is the way we normally think. Not just to get what we want, which is our default position. But for the glory and honor of God. Or maybe to see how this works in a way that's a bit more familiar to you guys, just think about how the body of Christ was designed to function. Right? We've talked about this numerous times, but it's one of those things we've got to keep talking about because it's so foundational. In that God didn't create all of us to be just alike. We're not supposed to look alike. We're not supposed to think alike. We're not supposed to all have the same talent and abilities. And we haven't been given the ability to do it all either. But instead, God created us each differently. Different gifts, talents, abilities, all that kind of stuff, so that we can play our role in the body. Which means you're going to have some people who work as the eye, helping the body to see, right? You're going to have others who are going to manage and oversee touch so that we can move around in this world and actually do things. Others were created to be a part of the heart, that beating inside of us that keeps us going. And what that reveals is that for the body of Christ to function and function well, you don't need a whole lot of people who are trying to do everything. And what's needed is for people to stay in their lane and give themselves to doing what it is that God created them to do. Because when we do that, or in other words, when we give ourselves to ruling and managing our part of the world well, which, by the way, is enough. How many of you at this very moment have enough on your plate to manage and take care of anybody? How many of you at some time during this week thought to yourself, this is way too much for me to rule and manage anybody? Yeah. So what I want you to see is our part of the world is enough. That's our responsibility. That's all that we can do. And yet, now that I've walked you through all of that, and I know there's a lot there, and if you've never heard this interpretation of what's going on in Genesis, it's going to take you a little bit to get your minds around it. But what I hope has become crystal clear at this moment is your minds have been expanded, and you're beginning to see that stewardship really is way bigger than just deciding how much of our time, talent, and treasure to give to the church. But it's actually something that includes every part of our life, as we devote ourselves to overseeing and managing our part of the world. Which in turn, I think, begs the question of all of us, and it's an uncomfortable question. How well do you guys think we're doing? How are we doing when it comes to managing our part of the world? How are we doing when it comes to our families, our work, our community? Are we really giving ourselves to living and managing our lives for the sake of God's glory? Or do we maybe need to make some changes? do we need to begin to rethink why we do what we do? Do we even need to consider what it is that we are doing? Well, that's a question that I hope all of you will consider and even wrestle with this week as we continue to figure out what it means to rada, as we continue to figure out what it means to be God's managers. And then the one last thing that I want to add to all of this, I don't know about you guys, but the truth is oftentimes when I find myself trying to take care of my part of the world, it feels like a burden to me. How many of you have ever been in the place where life feels like a burden? Anybody? Well, what I would like to point out to you about this particular teaching and what it means for our lives is that this thing that God has entrusted us with, right, it's a blessing and an honor. The creator of the universe has called each and every one of us in our own particular way, in our own particular place, to rule and manage his good world well. Because again, when we do that, when we take care of our stuff, when we put all of that stuff together, that not only makes our lives better, but it makes the world a better place. It's how we go about bringing heaven to earth in all that we do. Let us pray. Father, as we get into this series that oftentimes make people begin to squirm and feel strange, it is my hope that you'll help us all begin to see that stewardship is way, way bigger than just what we do for the church. Although that's important, but it includes every part of our lives. And that part of the reason why you created us, oh Lord, is to manage, is to rada, is to govern our part of the world well. And so what we pray today, now that we understand that, now that we know it, oh Lord, is that you will help us to do that and do that well. Truth is, we can't do it by ourselves. But we know that you are a God who is with us. And so we ask you to come in and help us if we need to rethink, if we need to shift, if we need to do something different. Help us to do that as we play our part and what you have called us to do. Lord, we pray all of this in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless and have a great week.